I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, this is Dre, and welcome to Posse of the People. In this episode, it's me, DR, and Miles talking about this last week in politics, y'all. It is, wow, there's not a lot of other news outside the Olympics that is worth talking about at this moment. This is Dre at DRAY on Twitter.
My name is Miles E. Johnson and at Feral Rapture on Instagram.
And it's Diarra Ballinger. You can find me on Instagram at Diarra Ballinger.
Y'all, this has been a week. I feel like every week is a sort of wild week. The first thing I want to talk about is the Olympics. It has been really cool to see the Olympics in Paris. It looks like a beautiful ceremony going on. My favorite was seeing Serena think the camera was off when she went under that little bridge. That was great. And to just see, there have been no track and field events since it started yet. But Simone Biles was incredible. The guy, Frederick, the black guy who's on the gymnastics team, he's been incredible. USA basketball, I can't wait to see the reincarnation of the Dream Team play. And the South Sudan team, you know, I want America to win, but the South Sudan team has been on fire. So I'm excited to see them too. What about y'all? What are you watching the Olympics? What do you think about the Olympics?
I watched the whole 4-hour Olympic opening. I think it was very long. I mean, I did like flip to other things and then flip back because I would flip to the Olympics. And I'm like, oh, we're just on country that begin with the letter G, and I'm 2 hours in. But it's just a beautiful thing to watch. I obviously have a lot of notes, but the notes are less so sort of on like the French creative, which I thought was beautiful and very inclusive for the French. I think my notes were mostly for NBC, who had the likes of Peyton Manning as a prime sort of narrative voice. I have so many problems with that. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, Peyton Manning, who, why? And then it was Peyton Manning and Kelly Clarkson. And I love Kelly Clarkson. But does Kelly Clarkson play a sport? I'm very confused. I love her and I love her voice and she's amazing. But it just was, and then we also had Snoop Dogg as a correspondent, who really just like did the Snoop Dogg dance the whole time and didn't really say much of anything, high as a kite. It just was like, I think representationally, like I felt like NBC was like, let's give the people what they want, but they have no idea what we want. So it was like a hodgepodge of awkwardness. Thank
Kelly
God.
Kelly Clarkson confused me too. I'm not gonna lie. It I looked at the screen like, what is Kelly talking about up here? At least Dwayne Wade made sense. He's commentating on somebody's network, but at least he played basketball. So
yes.
I like understood a little bit, but Kelly confused me. And Snoop, and just like Leslie, what's the comedian? Les Dogg is her name, her Instagram name.
Was she the one on the boat with the Olympians? The woman on the boat, the sister on the boat with them was excellent. I need to find her name. I think she was an Olympian. But
no,
everyone
you know
else.
The famous comedian who's like, she got famous for commentating, Leslie Jones. Remember, she used to make those Instagram videos?
Yes, about the Olympics.
So her commenting actually makes sense to me because, like, she used to make, just like Snoop used to make those Instagram videos. But yeah, I'm with you.
Right.
Kelly Clarkson confused me. I was like, what is Kelly doing?
It was very interesting programming. And I just was, I feel like the French got American programming better than the Americans did. Like they had Gaga, they had, you know what, it just was.
Celine Dion!
They did it. I enjoyed all those parts. But as soon as folks started awkwardly trying to fill space and Peyton Manning, like, come on, y'all. I felt like I was watching the debate again. That's mean and too soon, but that's what I felt like.
Yeah, I was totally here for the unsportification of the Olympics and just adding things because it just kept me really entertained because I'm only really present if there's like a Black person to root for on the screen. But I loved Gaga's performance. And I don't know, I kind of liked the whole commercialization of in the hodgepodge pastiche pop thing that was like the Olympics. It was really entertaining. I wasn't expecting to be entertained by it, but I was. And I'm gonna say this again because I'm still really impressed by it. I am a little monster, and Gaga's performance was so good. It really,
It was so cute.
And you know, we just don't see a whole lot of performers. Obviously, Beyonce is Beyonce. So we don't see a whole lot of performers who just can really just handle what that kind of performance was and get it and tonally understand it, but still wink to your audience. So I felt like I was in 96 again watching Lady Gaga. I was like, this is how you do it.
So I woke up to the Beyonce performance. Like, I had gone to sleep before it came on. And I thought
Beyonce
it was a
commercial.
But it was long.
It wasn't a performance. Minute. Don't give that lady no. That was a performance, Beyonce.
I missed it.
You are still on the clock, Beyonce.
DR, you missed it? She introduced the American team.
Oh, I was like, that's why she had all them clothes on her Instagram.
Yeah, she introduced the American team, but I literally thought it
like,
was AI.
She
I was
spoke? Like, she like she
no, it was
spoke?
A video. It was a recorded video, but like all of the American athletes are in it in like beaded, diamond encrusted USA outfits. Dion, you got to see it. We got to find.
Did
it.
She own it? Did she own it? Do all that with the outfits?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
She posted.
Well, Beyonce, fine. Good job, Shiona. We're your number ones over here. Excellent.
Wait, I'm going to show you. You need to see it.
If you don't supersize this and stop being homophobic, Duray.
Look, you see, did you, Miles, did you see my eyes?
Right, supersize this.
Oh, what are you... cute. Beyonce's like, you know what? I'm in the Hamptons, but good luck to y'all.
So what's cool about it, DR, is that she like shouts him out. She's like, you know my girl Sha'Carri, and you know Simone is giving it to him, and my boy Noah, you know, like she does the introduction of the team.
I love that.
And it's cool, and it's like only Beyonce could do it.
To your point, DeRay, I was looking at the video and thinking about how it just AI'd it looked. And how we're probably going to I think there needs to be like a little space that we get to where there's like proof of human interaction, because almost it looks used to be like the sign of superstardom or like superstar doing something's really clear and digitized and like, you know, almost fake looking. And now that's one of the things that a media literate person looks for when you think about AI. So it's almost like I wish it was a little bit more, I don't know, VHS'd and a little bit more grimy, because I was looking at B and I was like, with the super one big eye and looking really close and saying, is that really my Beyonce? Dance around, do something off kilter. She already looks so just like impeccably perfect looking that digitized aesthetic doesn't help the AI accusations. But that's funny that you said that, because I was thinking the same thing, Derek.
I'm excited this week to see track and field. I'm excited to see basketball. Shout out to the swimmers. I don't know any of those swimmers though. And yeah, I think basketball and track are the only two things. Oh, gymnastics.
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 And volleyball. Volleyball.
Volleyball?
Both. Yes. I'm almost like a professional volleyball player. You don't know that about me.
I don't know that. Should we
people
know
from the DC area know that?
What do we is volleyball is a, don't they have two person volleyball and then like big team volleyball?
They have beach and then they have indoor.
What's the beach is how, same number of people?
It's two. It's two on two.
Oh, beach is the two thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have we ever won?
Yeah. Misty May and Carrie Walsh were awesome. They're like around my
Misty.
Age.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Come on, mm-hmm. Misty and Carrie. Mm-hmm. Well, shout out to the Olympics. In political news, we are in the countdown to November. What you got? You know, I have been fascinated by the J.D. Vance implosion. The memes about him having sex with a couch. I even thought it was real because somebody posted like a clip of a cutout of the book. And I was like, well, that's a weird passage. All of it was, it seems to have been a rumor, but it is such a big thing on the internet that he has to contend with it. His comments about childless women, we'll play that. But his comments about you shouldn't be in elected office if you don't have children and the childless cat women, Jennifer Aniston coming after him for that, rightly so. Meghan McCain even tweeting like, J.D. Vance, what is this? This doesn't make sense. This is not who we are. I've been fascinated by the J.D. Vance conversation. What about, have you all seen it? What do you think?
They are eating J.D. Vance up. Love to see it. It's funny when I think about the Trump situation, aka the assassination attempt, not to be too nebulous about what I'm talking about, the Trump assassination attempt, and now this viral lie. It's high time and interesting to see these different situations happen on the right where they're really having to contend with their own energy in politics and language that they've put out. So it's interesting that J.D. Vance is a part of this fake news, Trump, far right mechanism that is all about disinformation. And now his whole reputation and campaign is being compromised because of fake news. And that feels poetic for me.
Miles, I feel the same. I feel like as a proud card-carrying member of the Democratic Party that I'm often on a losing sports team. And in these last weeks, I just feel like we're going to the Super Bowl and we're going to win. I feel like Trump picked J.D. Vance because he was basically dancing in the end zone. I got this. I am about to win this election big time, and I'm gonna pick whoever I want. And he picked this guy, and it's falling apart. It's like, I guess this is how the other side feels often. So I'm just gonna bask in it for as long as I can, because we really are winning right now. Poll numbers are up for Kamala. White women out here raising $8 million, just them on their own. Didn't ask them to. They got on a call, made it happen. I'm just like, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good.
I love you. That is true, Dion. It does feel like we're finally on a winning. We're not just praying that we make a goal. We're like, pray. Call your family, pray. Get your grandma to pray. Now you're like, oh, we could win. We can make our own goals.
I mean,
we got some good players.
It's fantastic.
It is. What's really interesting, too, is that the more J.D. Vance talks, the worse it gets. Like, that's sort of the wilder thing. You're like, there's nothing he says that is sane. You're like, especially because he came out so hard against Trump before. You're like, you play all the clips. It is just
right.
A nightmare.
But it's also, Duray, these aren't people that have, like, talking points. Like, Trump has a crazy stump speech that he has different variations of. But it's not like they have sort of, like, a comprehensive... This is what, right. This is who we are and this is what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really is so hodgepodge. So, I mean, J.D. Vance is out there just sort of like winging it, and we're getting the best of it.
Hey, you're listening to Pod Save the People. Stay tuned. There's more to come.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
But who's going to be Kamala's VP pick?
I mean,
I'm saying whoever y'all say, because I have a wild ticket in my head. That's what I remember putting it in. Well, I put it in the group chat earlier because it kind of scared me because I was so optimistic, and I have nothing against Pete Buttigieg. I mean, besides like anything I have against like the Democratic Party, like there's nothing specific about him, but like my inner far-right conservative, I guess, was like, now that's too diverse. It almost scared me. Like, I was like, that's just too much, even if he was perfect. So that's why I asked you all. But I'm listening to you all to see who do you all think, A, is going to be nominated, but who would be, like, the best person to? Like, even if that's not necessarily the person who seems top of the ticket, but...
Well, I will say... One thing that is happening now is the Eric Holder is leading the vetting process, which I found to be a win. Again, we are winning. The fact that Eric Holder is involved, I am obsessed with Eric Holder. I wish he could be the VP pick. But good old Eric Holder's leading the charge. And so speaking as a winner, like, I'm just going to go with this and feel good about it. Like, just feel... Like,
soak it in.
I think it's like how people who aren't minorities, this is what they must, white people, is this what y'all feel like? Like, oh, anything can happen? Yeah, that's who I am.
Like
days.
A Folgers commercial.
Like, just, I'm waking up and everything's for me. Okay. So with that, it would be Pete for me. 100%. I just find him to be so smart. And when I say smart, I mean messaging smart. He speaks in a way that's digestible, accessible for people, that is also like snarky at the right moments. And, you know, it's a wild pick because he was a mayor. So he's not necessarily giving you like the whole state access. But let me also just tell folks something. Just because you're the governor of a place, yeah, you won that. All them people coming with you again, not necessarily. And so Josh Shapiro could be great. That, I mean, the Kentucky guy, he's not on my list at all. What's his name? Bashir. Not even close. So for me, it would be Buttigieg. I also obviously love Gretchen. Incredible. And like everything I just said for governors did not apply to Gretchen Whitmer. I feel like she is the bomb.com and she will bring Michigan. But yeah, I really am feeling like we're going to be imaginative with this one. I think Kamala is going to show us what type of leader she is. And it's going to be a great pick. And she's going to tell us why. That's the land I'm living in. Duray?
We need to name this episode What It Feels Like to Win or something like that, because I'm here for it. I like the optimism. What I also think, and this is like the bad part about capitalism, is that I do also think that she's just a great story. I think one of the things that works for Trump is that he is a good story. It is funny sometimes. It's crazy. It's bigoted. It's homophobic. It's racist. And it is an interest. People want to keep consuming it, even if you yep. hate it. You're like, did you see that thing? That thing Trump said? Yep. You're like, he said da-da-da-da. And I think there's a part of Kamala that actually is a great story, but positive. Yep. Like you are
yep.
the look, like, you know, when she gets the call from Obama and he's on speakerphone and still has the phone up to her ear. You're like, that's my father. Why is the phone up to your ear on speakerphone, Kamala? He on speakerphone. But there's like everything about her is like an interesting, the coconut thing. It's interesting, you know, like, and I never thought I'd say this. The fact that they hid her for the last 3 years, you're not even tired of Kamala because you didn't see
nope.
her. She wasn't.
Nope.
You like she couldn't have, you know, if anything, they sent her out on the cooking shows and, you know, I look at those clips now. She was cooking with people. I'm like, when did she do this? Or like the Kiki interview
mm-hmm.
where Kiki's like, how do you do your hair? They had her on the culture tour for so long that you just weren't even tired of her. You know, turned out to work in our favor. Who knew? You know, so I'm in for the win. I'm interested in where her policies will be. You know, somebody asked me to talk about her on the police. And I was looking up like, you know, they did the things they said they were going to do. And, you know, mm-hmm. there are 18,000 police departments in the country. The federal government controls less than 100 of them, which I think people confuse when they talk about policing. But then you get Trump, right? So Sonya Massey gets killed and Trump says he wants to give full immunity to police officers. You're like, he just don't even care. It's not reading the room. He don't care about the room. And that stuff will only continue to mobilize us. So, you know, I think that what works for our side is that Kamala can be the most magical candidate in the world for 100 days. We just need her to be great for 100 days and then be a good president. She don't have
it's
to, you
also,
know.
100%. But I think that what she has taught us is that the people want something interesting. They don't want a boring white guy. I think, again, as winners, that season may be over. That season may be over. Because think fast. Who was Hillary Clinton's VP pick? Who?
Oh, I don't remember. Wait, Tim Kaine. Maybe?
It was.
But I couldn't tell you what Tim Kaine looked like or where he worked from. I just remember his name.
Word up. Mm. Word up. So picking a boring, he was a senator, Virginia.
Oh, see? Got it wrong.
That's what I'm saying. Like, picking the boring, and lovely man. Lovely. He did an event for me with Pusha T. It was amazing. But other than that.
What was he doing with Pusha T?
Oh, I got them together because it's Virginia. He's a Virginia guy.
Okay.
Yeah, it was actually, it was really fun. And we put like cool sunglasses on him. What a mess.
Okay.
But anyway,
okay.
But that's what I'm saying. You got to do all that as opposed to just picking somebody that's got, you know.
My 100-day comment was actually not even a knock at her, but a reminder that, like, you know, the honeymoon phase disappears for everybody. And we can stay in the honeymoon phase for 100 days. Do you know what I mean? But yep. at a point, people will want, they'll try and find some crazy angle to attack Kamala. Like, it's just sort of the way the media works. But 100 days, we got this. I'm pumped about it. You know, I was, it does remind me, though, that we need to talk to people about the issues. So I'm interested in what you all think about the issues, because I was talking to a really close friend of mine yesterday, and he was like, some of his Dominican friends are still voting for Trump because of immigration. And I'm like, what? You know, like, I'm like confused by
voting
it.
Voting for Trump.
I'm thinking to because the critique was that it feels like there are no rules, like anybody can do whatever they want. People are coming over here and taking advantage of sort of the welfare state. And he was trying to convince his barber and he was sort of fighting his barber. And the issue was immigration. I was like, this is really interesting. But it made me think too about, like, I don't know if I could repeat our side's talking points about immigration. I just know that the other side's is racist and bigoted, and whatever we're presenting certainly is not that. So I am interested in the way the policy stuff rolls out in the next 100 days.
I agree, DeRay. And you know who needs to do a coalition's call? Dominicans. That's who. I will help y'all get the unlimited Zoom. I will do whatever I can to help my Latino, Latina, Latinx folks do this call. Because it is conversations like this where I'm like, what is the point of having this imagination and us getting to a place? And I know we still have a long way to go, but we are on the road to freedom. And we got to make sure that folks in this diaspora understand what we're trying to do. So Dominicans, find me on Instagram and I will help. But enough, enough, enough.
Now, what do you think comes next? So we've seen the ads from the Kamala team. We've seen the press releases. It is interesting that Trump seemingly is refusing to debate Kamala. I'll read the last statement that he put out if you have not seen it. But he said, and this was on the 25th, he said, given the continued political chaos surrounding crooked Joe Biden and the Democratic Party, general election debate details cannot be finalized until Democrats formally decide on their nominee. There's a strong sense by many in the Democratic Party, namely Barack Hussein Obama, that Kamala Harris is a Marxist fraud who cannot beat President Trump, and they are still holding out for someone, quote, better. Therefore, it would be inappropriate to schedule things with Harris because Democrats very well could still change their minds. This is from Stephen Chung, the Trump campaign communications director. What do you all make of this? Do you think that he'll debate her in the end? Do you think he'll keep punting? You know, before that, he said he wouldn't debate Kamala because Obama had not endorsed her. Then the Obama endorsement comes out and then we get this statement. What do y'all think about this?
Marxist fraud. There are two images of this woman in people's heads, and I'm like, what about Kamala has given you Marxist fraud? And like I don't. It's so funny them trying to twist themselves in order to make her seem like somebody who is not center left at, you know, at best, and make her seem like she is this like far leftist. It's actually ridiculous. They're scrambling. I don't know the exact rules on this, but I think it would be really cool if Kamala still did something during that debate slot or during that time. I think that because Trump seems to be scared of actually debating her, engaging her, I think it would be cool if she just like had a moment, had an hour just to go and talk about, like you were saying, about policy and just be uninterrupted and talk about it and say like, you know, my opponent did not want to talk to you all, but I didn't want to skip a moment to talk to the American people, and just have her be able to talk about policies and stuff. Because like DeRay said, I do think that this kind of initial relief and excitement is just bound to wear off. And I think that that will be something to kind of, A, ground us, but also get us more excited. And the last thing I said, like, I think there's, in my pop culture, just culture brain, I see Kamala and Michelle Obama on stage together. I hope they save that for like the 90th day. I hope they just put that in their pocket and don't give it to us until they're like, okay, we kind of drying up. Nobody's excited, because of that image. Just when I see it in my head, I'm like, oh, that is just, you know how I feel about electoral politics and everything. And I'm not necessarily fascinated with politicians as celebrity, but the Kool-Aid has been drank with me. I'm excited about her in a way that, you know, just because I want to see her in the office, I that symbolic persuasion has entered my head, and I just think there's no wrong turn for her unless she literally just makes a horribly wrong turn on her own.
Mm-hmm. You know, Donald Trump, it's the same tactics. It's fear mongering. It's trying to make an enemy. But guess what, Donald Trump? It's hard to make an enemy out of somebody that's pretty. okay? It's somebody that smiles. That's hard. It's hard to make an enemy out of that. It just is here in America. It's also hard to make an enemy out of somebody that went to Howard University. So Donald Trump, let's see you try to make this woman into an enemy. It's just not, it's not going to happen. And it's particularly not going to happen with like the fraud Marxist comment. Like, you're going to have to dumb that down for your folks a whole heck of a lot more. Okay. So I don't know. It just, it's ridiculous. And it's the same type of like fear mongering tactics and just like extreme, you know, sort of this whole notion that someone has this extreme ideology that they don't, to Miles's point, when somebody's just kind of like center left. But I don't see this. I don't see these things, these tactics working on her. So he's going to have to go back into his like evil marketing boardroom and try to figure out some other things.
Now, there's one topic that I think we must talk about is that when Kamala ran originally, there was this comment or this critique of her that was very potent, and it was that Kamala's a cop. And the idea that Kamala's a cop took a lot of airtime. It framed, that was the central critique of Kamala during that moment. Emily Bazelon wrote that, I think it was Emily Bazelon, wrote that piece in the, I think it was the Times, that was the linchpin for a lot of people. I remember even talking to her campaign about it, because as you know, Kamala was a career prosecutor. And it seems like that critique is not taking hold today. The idea that Kamala's a cop. I want to know what you think about that. And then there are a set of people who feel like there should have been a contested primary. I was talking to a close friend yesterday who supports Kamala and felt like there should have been a contested primary. I was like, you know, I was telling him, the delegates could choose. It wasn't, you know, the delegates have not formally chosen nominee. Like, they could have chosen somebody else.
You know what? Maybe it's just your friends that are the issue. Let's have your friends. Everyone you said you just talked to.
I did.
Have them over to my place and let's hash some things out.
My friends are listening to the podcast too, DR, so tell them they're at your place now.
Okay, you all, we are, so let's in the next couple weeks, y'all.
Dominican.
We'll have a whole immigration.
Okay, Kamala's a cop and no open primary. What you got?
My issue, actually, not to deflect, but I am also a politician. I actually have more issue with this sort of Donald Trump's a felon, Kamala is a cop, prosecutor, and who do you want more, a prosecutor or a felon? And that, my thinking really has been... I hadn't been thinking about the felon piece, but then I follow Florida Rights Restoration Commission, as I'm sure you do too, DeRay, and we are obsessed with their work. And there's just been a whole movement to get us out of this language around felon and what that means and all sort of all of, you know, the fear mongering that goes into narratives around felons, when really it's just an individual that made a mistake and served their time and now is back with us in community and in many cases leading and greatly contributing to community. So I think I have most issue with it when it's sort of the contrast of cop versus felon, which I think is a conversation that is worth us having. Because that really is sort of getting at folks' humanity. Obviously, I ain't talking about Donald Trump. I don't care. But what I'm talking about, folks in our family and folks that we're in community with. The cop conversation on Kamala, like, yeah, I mean, we can share some talking points on that or just some facts on that. And y'all need to get over it. We got 100 days. Let's get to the other side and hold this hold what will be the Harris administration. You know, hold the feet to the fire on sort of criminal legal system reform, which I feel like, to go on another tangent, is, you know, it hasn't been the conversation, the national conversation for a while now. I felt like it was very center and now it's sort of been dwindling.
Don't go anywhere. More Pod Take the People's coming.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I think everybody is so, let's not get a Trump presidency. That what I've been seeing, and you all can tell me if you've seen something different, I've seen that there have been even maybe some kind of like abolitionist like ideas or like leftist ideas that I've been told like squashed, like shut up, we are voting for this woman, don't say anything, don't ruin it, be quiet. And I do think that's gonna come back and bite people, because I do think that the more, again, I think the excitement of the moment is really fueling it. And I think once people's excitement is not done, that's not going to be enough to combat the certain types of narratives around her, like soulfully. And when you do look at the stats, when you do hear everything about her history, it is pretty compelling. It does show that, okay, well, let's not have the media turn people into these like very flat comic book type characters. Let's really look at like the data. But it's just interesting to see that I just still haven't seen people, a whole lot of people, just engage with people who or engage with those counter narratives with something that's with the facts, you know. It's always just like, shut up. I'm like, well, if you just say what she did and didn't do, not only could you say shut up, but you could also help make it so this is not something that we're hiding. It's something that has been misconstrued by the media. You know, that to me is like, feels weird that I haven't seen more of that, yeah, pushback from people who are pro.
I agree. This is what I just did, Miles. I went to ChatGPT and I said, hey, can you give me a book summary on Kamala Harris's book, Smart on Crime? And here's what it says.
Not Diara.
Here's what it Kamala says. Call you this she, morning? Harris argues for moving beyond the traditional tough on crime, advocating for strategies that are smart, like innovative programs that that target truancy to prevent children from dropping out of school and becoming involved in criminal activities. Community involvement. The book stresses the need for community-based solutions and the importance of building trust between law enforcement and communities. Addressing myths. Harris seeks to debunk myths about criminal justice, such as the notion that poor communities are inherently hostile toward the police. victim support. The book also discusses the significance of supporting victims of crime, ensuring they have necessary resources and protection to rebuild their lives. And when a prosecutor wants to focus on victim support, that means that prosecutor is a good one, because the prosecutors that I know spend the majority of their time on victim support and making sure victims get into the right social programs. So not that I'm tooting anybody's horn, maybe Kamala Harris's, but this is what I found. This is what I found when I just did a 3-second bada bing, bada boom. So Miles, I agree. I don't want anyone, whoever is curious about anything, gotta explore it. Let's bring it up. Let's talk about it. But what we can't do, because this is when things go left. If you are waiting on this campaign to address your individual need in the modality that most speaks to who you are, it ain't gonna happen. Because campaigns, unfortunately, have been built the same since 1966 pickup sticks, okay? The same organizing that was happening in 2008 with Obama. There's sort of an updated version happening now, but we have to realize that these campaigns, a campaign is but an appendage of our political system, which already moves at a snail's pace. So all I'm saying is, if we want to find these answers, we are going to have to get them ourselves. And best that we do that, because Miles, I'd rather have you articulating something than anybody that is working on a communications team for a campaign.
I do. If I'm being honest, I do. I hear everything that you said and respect it and love it. I find that difficult just to settle into my brain, because from what I've noticed is that when a Democratic nominee comes up and is putting their hat in to become president, that to me usually seems like the most opportune time to really get specific. And to your point about everything that was happening around mass incarceration, and of course there was a huge media push with Ava DuVernay's documentary that kind of put it into the common person's consciousness as well. I still feel like that felt like such a center topic because we made it such a center topic. I felt like we pushed for those things.
Yes.
But I feel like there's such a fear. I guess the thing that I'm seeing is that people who are maybe further left, people who are not as I'm trying not to use like any like bad language around anybody and how they're interacting with it, but I see this kind of like silencing of certain types of people who have maybe these very specific terms, and I'm like, let those people speak, let them say something loud, let it grow steam, because you know, have it be told when all those super predator comments came out and stuff like that, Hillary never stopped talking about that. She always kept on being asked about that and talked about that and had to show she had to prove that she was going to be different and stuff, and you know. Maybe that's not the best example because she lost. But I do see a pattern of, if you make it a big deal, they'll have to address it, and then you have something to hold them accountable for. But it feels like that making it a big deal part feels like everybody's like hands off until we win. But when we win, it feels like sometimes it could be just too late because they're already in office. So the promise of prioritization,
Miles,
is not there.
I have a question. I have a question for you, because I am with you 100%, but I think sometimes when the question is asked or when the button is pushed in an Amanda Seales type of way, I'm like, huh? What's the point? What you doing? What's this about? Sort of the through line or the nuance for me is, speak your truth, everybody. But let it be the truth of the people. Let it have some action accompanying it. Let it speak to a sort of trail that is like deep curiosity, because there's a feeling that something is really wrong. explore what the sort of actionable steps can be, and then let's go at it. But I think I get a little tense when it's just like people saying stuff.
Yeah, and I will say that, they, and this is true.
You done said the A word, child. I'm over here like, no, hold on. I didn't say anything about Miss Amanda Seals. I didn't say not a word about Miss Amanda Seals. I was minding my business. I was minding my business.
Y'all before, can tweet at me because I don't even know how to get on there. So you tweet at me all day long.
What I'll say a little briefly just to respond to that is that, again, this is how come this whole situation as far as presidency and politics and the government is warped, because it's steeped inside of celebrity culture and with social media and with social media tactics.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, Amanda Seals, I do like her. I am a fan of My Brother and Me and all other stuff that she has done. But she's an entertainer who also, because of the economics of stardom today, also has to be an influencer, which means she also has to feed an algorithm, which means she also has to perform a certain type of way, and she gets incentivized for doing those things. So once those maybe leftist pushes are only solely coming from Amanda Seals in her warped, like in her own warped view, which we all have, then it becomes Amanda Seals versus Kamala. And I'm like, no, it should be people who have more left of sense or even further left concerns versus Kamala. There shouldn't be not one singular person who is saying, I'm not convinced by this, but it is because of the cult of personality and celebrity culture that we all exist in, which is really sad too when I look at everything. I'm sorry. I'm glad we're virtual.
We really pulled all that together.
I will say, just as a point of clarification, the thing, and the press has called me because there are a lot of anniversaries of killings coming up. And as you all saw, the death of Sonya Massey, if you saw the video or heard about the video, it was truly appalling. Is a reporter called me yesterday and said, Durade, can Kamala do something to prevent this? Can the George Floyd Act prevent it? Da-da-da. And again, I'm a broken record on this. 18,000 police departments, less than 100 controlled by the president, and none in your community. No local police department, no state agency, no sheriff's department is controlled by the federal government. It's Border Patrol is the biggest agency controlled by them. Then you get ICE, the DEA, ATF, but it's not your local police departments. It's just not. The second thing is that on a given day in the United States, there are 2.3 million people incarcerated, and less than 300,000 of them are incarcerated in the federal system. Mm-hmm. You can let every single person out of federal custody, and it will not change the mass part of mass incarceration. That's just the way the numbers are. So when we think about like the single biggest lever for the end of mass incarceration and the end of police violence, it really is your city and state. That's just what it is. It's your mayor, your governor, it's those people. And I say that not to take the heat off the president. I do say that as to remind you that y'all like give the heat to everybody. Like, let's make sure that we like do something with the prison system at the federal level, but the majority of people are incarcerated at the state level. It's just true. These are your local police departments and your governors. Now, what we should put pressure on the federal government is that they fund everything. So when I think about the George Floyd Act, there are some pieces in it that are great. And even when they passed the restriction on neck restraints, we did that. It's in the bill. I'm very proud of that. And it will only automatically apply to the less than 100 departments that the federal government manages. The other 18,000 of them will be incentivized to pass rules that mimic the federal law, but they will not be required to, because that's the way federalism works. So it's like, we can condition money. We should do that. We should do a lot of things with the money and force states to do things in the same way that we got seatbelts. We didn't get seatbelts because people cared about car safety. We got seatbelts because the federal government incentivized passing laws around driving. So that is a point of clarification, because people have asked. And when I look up, you know, their platforms around criminal justice and policing, the Biden administration had a good one. They've done a lot of those things that they couldn't get done in the George Floyd Act. They did by executive order. Now, what they do need to do, and I said this somewhere else on the Black Gay Men call the other day, is the clemency problem is a problem. Biden ain't done nothing on clemency. So I'm interested to see what Kamala will do on that issue. Clemency is either people getting out early or shortening sentences that the president can do. And Biden has been pretty slow on it. Kamala, during the election, said that she believed in an independent process. So I'm excited for that. And she did call for the DOJ to have increased funding to be able to investigate police departments. Remember, 18,000 police departments, the highest number of investigations in a given year historically was the Obama administration. And it was, Miles, do you know this? How many they investigated like every year under Obama? Like the highest number, 18,000 police departments? What's your guess?
I'm so bad at stuff like this. Please tell me the number though.
No, but you had a guess.
No, I hate these games.
Okay, so it was three. So
three they would only or 3,000?
No, three. So when we think about the federal government's sort of power to hold police departments accountable, the office that does it is like the team of lawyers is so small and so underfunded that they can't even do more police departments in a given year if they wanted to. So she did commit to increasing that when she ran for president the first time. I'm interested to see that again in the conversation, but that's what I mean about the money. That's a money thing. So when we think about, and the George Floyd Act does expand the DOJ's power to investigate and subpoena police departments. That is actually a good thing. Last thing I'll say on this soapbox is remember that that is a new power. The federal government's role in investigating police departments comes immediately following the beating of Rodney King. Mm. That is a new power. It was most exercised under Obama, not exercised at all under President Trump, and then re-exercised under this administration.
Okay. I mean, DeRay, what do you, I mean, the interesting thing in the way we don't talk about Kamala's background as a prosecutor is the fact that there'll actually be somebody leading this country that has deep experience working in the criminal legal system. You know what I'm saying? So even everything you're saying won't need to be explained to Kamala.
I agree with you, Dara. She knows it. Now, what she will not say, I've not seen her publicly talk about police accountability. Now, that phrase, the George Floyd Act has some good things in it that sort of get to that, but I've not heard her talk about it. Mm-hmm. Now, what is true is that the president outside of the DOJ cannot hold a local police department accountable. They just, like, that is the mechanism. But I've not heard her talk about that. Even the statement about Sonya Massey was a call to pass the George Floyd Policing Act.
Right. And she I saw that she called the family.
Yeah.
Which is great in the basics. I'm not trying to pat anybody on the back for that. But yeah, I think that's an interesting way to talk about this. And I think it's also sort of brings up the relationship between prosecutors and law enforcement and a lot of assumptions we even make about that. And I would be interested, like if we could get some data, if there was an organization that worked deeply on data when it came to the criminal legal system.
What you got?
And DeRay,
I don't know. I heard some good ones out there.
If we could get Black prosecutors to anonymously, obviously, talk about their relationships with law enforcement. And if that is different from white prosecutors, because I know what my relationship was for the short time I was a prosecutor. It was not good with the popos. So I'd be very curious to see what the differences are there.
I think so much of it can be about vanity and can be about just shifting the culture around the conversations, which I don't say vanity as a pejorative. I just think that when we do think about Sonya Massey and like in her murder, because we've seen this so much as a society, there does feel like, because the culture felt different underneath Trump. It felt like the country felt different. Me going to different places felt different underneath Trump, and in the country also felt different underneath Obama. I think that the president really shifts how the nation feels in significant ways, and I think now when we look at this woman's murder, I think that we just got to a space, or at least I've gotten to a space, and I don't think that I'm like especially brilliant. I think that I'm just at a space where I'm like, when are we going to say that there are people who enter the police force in order to wreak havoc on Black people in communities? When do we say that it's not just about a set of policies and a set of rules? It's about the type of people who we are allowing to be police officers. Also, like, just watching that video, listening to that video, I couldn't even watch it, but like hearing what he was saying, I'm like, oh, this person entered the police force for a moment like this. There is hatred in that. And I think, again, I know that maybe how other people want to say it, and it seems like Miss Seals is the only person people who put the project this on. Of course, Kamala is just saying this president is, or excuse me, this country is racist is not practical, but there needs to be some type of acknowledgement that there is something awry and that she's going to do something about it. And it can't, and I do think that people specific, and I do a lot, think a lot of Black people, specifically Black people who are maybe further left, really are wanting people to be more, their politicians to be more honest about these situations, in my opinion. And wanting to have a more complicated answer to these type of things, because they do change. Having somebody like Kamala in office who's saying there's something systemic going on that we have to address as a nation, as a family. I do think that changes how people feel about entering the police force. Even like I'm doing a whole lot of gymnastics intellectually, but it, to me, it doesn't feel like a hard jump. This is my little Olympic reference, but it doesn't feel like a hard jump to go from, oh, Trump's in office, oh, Trump is coming back again, J.D. Vance is saying this stuff, let me enter the police force, let me enter these different professions so I can make legitimate my bigotry. That's what seems like it's happening time and time again when we see these murders. So I hope that there's some type of addressing of that.
To that, I'll say, and I think you nailed it, is that even if the president can't control the local police departments, even if most people are incarcerated at the local and state level, what is true is that there is one office in the country that controls the public conversation or manages the public conversation from the biggest bully pulpit we have, and that is the president. And I think that's fair. And that, like, setting the tone. And what is also true is that, you know, there's a small number of police departments in cities of more than 100,000 residents, the majority of police departments are in smaller places. And what we find at the state level and in a lot of cities is that they just copy federal legislation. They do. So when the federal government passes these things, the hope is that cities and states will have the political cover to then mimic it at the state level and at the city level. And that is actually the good news. Even if the legislation won't directly change the local police departments, the idea is that it'll trickle down. Boom. Well, we will be back next week to talk about this election, and we are on the countdown. We are, is it 100 days, Delegate DR?
Starting, is it Sunday? Yesterday. Sunday was 100 days. Sunday was yesterday.
Do you have any words for us as a delegate, as a voting delegate at the DNC? DR, how's it feel? Did you get a badge? Did you get a, you know, what you got?
Well, I'm on the credentials committee, so I'm honored. And don't tell anybody, but, you know, I'm just trying to get our folks all the credentials they can get, okay? Because we got to be on that floor with our girl. Again, my attitude is anything can happen. I'm going to just be just radically imaginative with my Black brain. I got a little Mexican mixed in it. And I'm just going to be free old me. And I hope everyone does the same. Don't limit yourselves to everything that we have continually been limited by in this country.
Another exciting Vote Save America update. We've now had over 27,000 people sign up for Vote Save America's 2024 volunteer program, Organize or Else, including over 10,000 people since Kamala Harris's presidential announcement. And those folks have already reached out to over 1 million voters. This is a historic moment in U.S. politics, and we have the power to sway this election, but we need your help to have a fighting chance in November. Go to www.votesaveamerica.com/2024 and click sign up to get started. This message has been paid for by Vote Save America. You can learn more at votesaveamerica.com, and this ad has not been authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Well, that's it. Thanks so much for tuning in to Bossy of the People this week. Don't forget to follow us at Cricket Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And if you enjoyed this episode of Bossy of the People, consider dropping us a review on your favorite podcast app. And we'll see you next week. Bossy of the People is a production of Cricket Media. It's produced by AJ Moultrie and mixed by Vasilis Futopoulos. Executive produced by me, and special thanks to our weekly contributors, Kai Henderson, DR Ballinger, and Miles E. Johnson.
If you guys like Pod Save America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Pod Save America. That includes our new show, which is called Pod Save America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription-exclusive podcast that is basically Pod Save America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothes.
Dan is very busy, clothes only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.